Turn to Jonah chapter 2. We considered the first chapter last week. Let's read this prayer from the whale's belly in Jonah chapter 2. And two things I want to remind you of when we read this prayer. This is Jonah praying from a fish's belly. And this is also the prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ. And look at it in both ways as we read this passage of Scripture. Beginning in verse 1. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep. We remember from last week it was the mariners that cast him, but he says, thou hast cast me into the deep. In the midst of the seas and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight. Yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compass me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. And my prayer came unto thee into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Let's pray. Lord, we ask in Christ's name that you would meet with us, that you would speak in power to our hearts from your word, that you would teach us that salvation is of thee. Lord, teach us what it is to rejoice in that. Lord, how we thank you for the salvation that is in your Son. We confess our sins. We pray for forgiveness and cleansing. We pray for grace to love you more and to love one another more. Speak for Christ's sake. May we be found in him. In his name we pray. Amen. Now from this prayer of Jonah, from the fish's belly, we're given in these five words everything we believe. Salvation is of the Lord. That's everything we believe. Salvation is of the Lord. And what I think is interesting, when Jonah made that statement, the fish spit him out. Even fish don't like that statement. Salvation is of the Lord. Now, the Lord had prepared this great fish. The Lord Jesus calls him a whale in Matthew chapter 12, and the Lord Jesus referred to this as a historic event. People say, well, this is figurative, which, no, this literally happened. Can I understand that? No. How did he breathe? I don't know. A miracle. How did the acids in the whale's belly not consume him? I don't know. A miracle. But the Lord Jesus speaks of this as a historical event. Jonah being swallowed by this whale. Now, like I said, I want us to read this twice. Once as the words of Jonah, and the next time, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how this is. Verse 1. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. Now, can you imagine anything more miserable than that? Being in a fish's belly? Utter darkness? The stuff you would feel? How gross it would be? How helpless you would feel? Try to put yourself in his place, in a fish's belly, knowing he was there because of his disobedience, knowing he was there because he had disobeyed the Lord and went to Tarshish instead of going to Nineveh. You remember, he didn't like Nineveh. Nineveh, Gentiles, the enemies of Israel. He didn't want them to be shown mercy, so he went to Tarshish. They threw him over the boat. The Lord has prepared a fish. The fish swallows him. Verse 2. And said, out of the fish's belly, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord. He heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. Now this word affliction, it's translated adversary, adversity, difficulty, anguish, distress, trouble. From the well's belly, the belly of hell, is where I cried. And you know, the only time me and you are going to cry is from the belly of hell. When you've hit the bottom. That's when you cry to the Lord. There's no place else to cry. There's nothing else to do. Here he is in a completely hopeless situation. And he cries to the Lord, and he said, out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. Verse 3, for thou hast cast me into the deep. I know the mariners did it, but he knew that they did it at the appointment of God. Thou hast cast me into the deep. In the midst of the seas and the floods compass me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I'm cast out of thy sight, totally cut off, separated, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. Now that's the gospel. That's Christ. He is the temple of God. He is the dwelling place of God. Verse 5, the waters compass me about, even to the soul. The depths close me round about, the weeds were wrapped about my head. This talks about how completely he was trapped. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet, in spite of that, hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. Now this is all spoken from the belly of the whale. Jonah was given faith to know that the Lord was going to deliver him. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. That word fainted is utterly failed. I remembered the Lord. And my prayer came into thee, into thine holy temple. Verse 8, they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. If you look to your works, all you're doing is forsaking your own mercy. It's nothing but a lying vanity. And then he makes this statement. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. Now, let me repeat. That's everything we believe. Salvation is of the Lord. Now, salvation. I need to be saved, first of all, from God. Have you ever thought about that? He's the one I've sinned against. He's the one who has the power to cast me into hell and give me exactly what I deserve. I need to be saved from God. I need to be saved from my sins. I cannot get rid of my sins. I need to be saved from my sins in a way that honors God. I need to be saved from myself. I am my own greatest problem. And if you don't know that about yourself, you're deceived. You are your own greatest problem. You believe that? Salvation. I need to be saved from God. I need to be saved from my sins. I need to be saved from myself. Salvation is of the Lord. Now, let me talk for just a few moments about that. First, salvation's of the Lord and his purpose. God purposed salvation. Salvation is by the purpose of God. You know, in the very earliest sermons we have, this is an issue. When Peter's preaching on that great day of Pentecost, he opens up the message with these words: him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. He begins there. The reason he was delivered, yes, you with wicked hands have crucified and slain him, but God purposed this. This happened according to God's determinate counsel. When the early church is praying in Acts chapter 4, they say a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed. Both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. Now this was prominent in the apostles' preaching. I love it when Luke gives the first sermon of Paul in Acts chapter 13, and Luke, the inspired writer, gives this summary at the end after he preached: as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Acts chapter 13, verse 48. You see, Christ is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And God, in his purpose, made a way where he can be just, utterly just, and justify sinners like me and you. We're bound to thank God always for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. Isn't that enough? Why me? Why me? That's the only response. Why me? But God purposed salvation. Now, not only did God purpose salvation before time began, he's the author of it in the purpose of it. He's the executor of it. Now, we couldn't come up with a way to figure out how God could actually be just and justify the ungodly. Only God can do that. He's given this to show his greatness. But if we could come up with that way, we couldn't execute it. We couldn't make it happen. It would not happen if it was up to us. But salvation is of the Lord in its execution. I think of Christ agreeing to be a surety before time began to take full responsibility for the salvation of his people. It's of the Lord in its execution. He came in time, and in time he kept God's holy law perfectly, working out our perfect righteousness for his people. In time, he did what was ordained before the foundation of the world. He came and bore the sins of his people. He did it by himself. He was not given any help. He did this by himself. He by himself purged our sins. He was raised from the dead, having put away all of our sin. Salvation's of the Lord in its execution. He did it. He did it. He kept the law for me. He paid for my sins. He put them away. Salvation's of the Lord in its application, in the applying of it. Now, what do I mean by that? You know, I think I've never thought of things in this light before, but if you've heard what deism is, most of our founding fathers were deists. They believed that God created the universe, and he stepped back and just let things go to see what would happen. And you know, most people have kind of a deist view of salvation. God made salvation possible. He made salvation possible, but it's up to you as to whether or not it's going to be finished. He got it started, but it has to be finished with you. That's no different than deism. But that's not so. God, by his Spirit, gives life to everybody Christ stood as a surety for, everybody God elected, everybody that Christ died for. He gives them spiritual life. He applies it. He preserves these people. Salvation is of the Lord and his preservation. The reason you haven't fallen away, you've seen people leave. The reason you haven't is because he's kept you from it. He's preserved you. Salvation is of the Lord in its final glorification. When I love that hymn, when I stand before thy throne, dressed in beauty, not my own. When I see thee as thou art, love thee with unsinning heart. Then, Lord, shall I fully know. Not till then, how much I owe. When I stand before God sinless, I'm going to know salvation is of the Lord. Now let's read this prayer as the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the primary application of this. This is such a powerful type of Christ. 3 days in the whale's belly, the whale spits him out 3 days later, which represents the resurrection and what the Lord accomplished. And remember, the Lord said, you're only going to be given one sign, the sign of Jonas. 3 days in, 3 days out. Now let's read this prayer as the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. From the cross, then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and he cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord. And he heard me, out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. Now this is talking about his sufferings. And when we talk about the sufferings of Christ, I always feel so stupid because I don't understand it. I don't understand what he was going on. I don't understand what the full equivalent of hell is. I don't understand what it means to be forsaken by God and be left all alone, left to myself. And I wouldn't understand it because, you know, I was born sinful. He, in his holiness, was made sin. We're used to sin. It doesn't really bother us. Oh, it does sometimes, but not much. Not like it should. But he who is holy was made sin and was made to feel the awful vileness of it. Verse 3. For thou hast cast me into the deep, into the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves, speaking of his wrath, have passed over me. This is the equivalent to my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Now, he knew. And once again, I'm talking about things that I believe but don't understand. He was made sin. He was made to be guilty of the commission of the sins of all of God's people. What all does that mean? I don't know. And I would be foolish to try to explain it. But he was made sin. And the sins that I have committed, he became guilty of the commission of those sins. And that's why his Father forsook him. He's righteous, he's holy, he's true. Whatever he does is right. And when he punished Christ, it's because Christ deserved to be punished. Because he took my sin and made it his own. Did he ever sin in his person? Of course not. Of course not. Of course not. This is worse. He was made sin and made to feel all the horror of it and was forsaken by his Father. All the waves of his Father's wrath came over him. Verse 4. Then said I am cast out of thy sight. Complete separation. Now, when I think about this, I think the worst thing that could happen to me is for the Lord to leave me myself. Worst thing that could happen. Christ was left to himself, forsaken by the Father, cast out of his sight. But all that time, he never quit believing God. Look what it says, verse 4. Then said I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. He continued to believe God. You know when Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him? Those are the words of Christ. He's the only one to ever really do that. Me and you, when things go bad, we think we're being punished. The Lord's doing this. We think all kinds of things. Not him. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And he trusted his Father completely, even while he was forsaken by his Father. You see, somebody had to believe God. And this is exactly what it's talking about in the New Testament when it says we're justified by the faith of Christ. He believed God perfectly. He believed God completely. How about me and you? No. As soon as something's going wrong, we're questioning the Lord. Not him. He believed God perfectly. That's the faith of Christ that we're justified with. Verse 5. The waters compass me about, even to the soul. The depths close me round about. The weeds were wrapped around my head. He who knew no sin was made to know sin. Once again, I don't know what that means. But when he talks about the waters encompassing his soul, being touched, he who knew no sin was made to know sin. Sin. Verse 6, I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Forever. Now, what that reminds us of is that he suffered what no man could suffer, the full equivalent of eternal hell. Once again, I don't know what I'm talking about. We just believe. That's what he suffered. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God, speaking of his resurrection, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. And my prayer came unto thee in thine holy temple. Verse 8. They that observe lying vanities. And that describes everything about anything me and you come up with to save ourselves. It's nothing more than a lying vanity. And the Lord knows this much more acutely than anybody else does. They that observe, regard lying vanities, they forsake their own mercy. He knew so clearly that he's the way. All other ways are lying vanities. And then he says in verse 9 what me and you can't really say. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. We can do that. But hear what he says here. I will pay that I have vowed. Who's the only one who can say this? The Lord Jesus Christ. He vowed the salvation of his people before time began. And he paid what he vowed. He worked out a righteousness for them. He paid for their sins. I will pay that which I have vowed. Only he could do that. What a price he paid. And then he makes this statement that he understands this a whole lot more than me and you do. Salvation is of me. Salvation is of the Lord. And my dear friends, that's everything we believe, isn't it? You know what it means if salvation's of the Lord? That means it doesn't have anything to do with anything you do. That's the good news about that. It doesn't have anything to do with anything that you do. He did it all. When he said, "It is finished," it was finished. Salvation is of the Lord. And if you're saved, you know that that is so. Amen. And the Lord, I didn't do verse 10. And the Lord spake unto the fish and vomited Jonah upon the dry land. I like to think of him hurtling out of that fish's mouth on dry land. But what that represents is the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. All my salvation is dependent upon his resurrection. Okay.